And thank you so much, Pastor, for y'all's prayers and support and everything. We appreciate the opportunities you've given to us. Well, today, I have a message I want to share with you. Now, the sister said she, I didn't notice your little list this morning, sister, you were talking about. I didn't notice that, but and you may not notice, but I've got a little cold today. This week, I'm not going to let a cold get me down, okay? And we're just going to preach the word, okay? So we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18. And I want to read this verse kind of as a diving board into our message today. And it goes like this, and do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. And I would like to title my message today, L-U-I, or living under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Living under the influence. Now, we have laws in America that say that you cannot DUI, and that's drive under the influence of alcohol. It's unfortunate, but there are so many people that do it anyway. And you know what happens? It causes accidents on the highway. In fact, in 2019, it said that Google said there were 39,996 vehicle fatalities, and 40% were alcohol related. So we see that DUI destroys people. But I want to tell you, LUI, it will save people and help people. Now, all of us here today, we have been influenced by someone or something of the past. And it's important that we are influenced by the right people or by the right experiences. It's unfortunate, but there are some people that are influenced by Hollywood. There are those that are influenced by some sports hero. Then there's some that are influenced by drugs or alcohol. But we must understand that anything other than the Holy Spirit is going to be detrimental to our life and other people's lives around us. We have to be influenced by the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, we find that there were those that looked at the early disciples and they said, "What? You are under the influence of alcohol." Now, I'm paraphrasing a little bit. "You're under the influence of alcohol." And Peter stood up. He said, "No way, man. We're not under the influence of alcohol. This is that which the prophet Joel prophesied many years ago. We're under the influence of the Holy Spirit." Now, friends, when we see what happens when we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, we're going to want to drink from the Spirit of God. We're not going to want to be drunk with wine. We want to be filled with the Spirit of God. Now, how does a person live that is L-U-I? How does the church act that is L-U-I? Well, we go to the book of Acts, and we look at the book of Acts, and we find the answer in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and 47. And so this morning, we're going to look at six characteristics of the early church that prove they were under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And I believe these same six characteristics will be in our life if we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Let's look at them. First of all, we see in verse 42, they were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. When you read verse number 42, you see the scriptures say they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, breaking bread, and in prayers. So they were steadfast. What does it mean to be steadfast in the apostles' doctrine? Well, first of all, what was the apostles' doctrine? Well, we see that these apostles were with Jesus for three and a half years. They had walked with him. They had heard his teaching. They had seen the miracles take place. And so all of the things they had seen and heard, I believe, was the apostles' doctrines. The apostles' doctrine was no more than the words of Christ, the doctrines of Christ. And they continued. They were steadfast. They didn't stray to the right or to the left. They were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. My friends, when a policeman pulls over a person that's under the influence of alcohol, you know what they do? They say, walk the straight line. And the person gets out there and he can't walk the straight line because he's under the influence of alcohol. But I want to tell you, if you're under the influence of the Holy Ghost, you're going to walk the straight line of what thus saith the Lord. You're not going to stray to the right or stray to the left, but you're going to follow what God says in His Word. You know, there's a lot of voices in our world today, and I'm not totally against all TV preachers or radio preachers. God has opened up opportunities, but I want to say, there's a lot of TV preachers and radio preachers that you can turn the channel and they'll say, this is the way. You turn the channel over here and they say, no, this is the way. And friends, if you're not careful, you will get confused. As a friend of mine once said, as a termite in a yo-yo, if you're trying to follow what everybody else says. Well, my friends, I want to tell you, we need to look and see what the Word of God says and follow what He says, not what everybody else is saying. So they were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. They stood on the word of God and what Jesus had said. Secondly, we see that they had signs and wonders that followed them. Verse 43. Let's read what it says in verse 43. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Jesus promised that signs and wonders would follow those who believed in Mark 16, 17 and 18. These disciples were simple instruments of Christ. They were His hand extended. They were called to deliver those that were oppressed and possessed. They were the salt of the earth and the light of the world. They made a difference wherever they went. Life sprung forth whenever they stepped their foot into a place. And signs and wonders followed the early church, which proved they were under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, friends, I believe when that promise was given for signs and wonders, it just wasn't for Pastor Blood or the missionaries overseas or an evangelist comes along. I believe the signs and wonders that are promised is to every person that believes. I believe that we should have such power of God in our life and so filled with the Holy Spirit that when we walk into a place, people can sense that we have the power or something's different about us. I believe when we go into a grocery store and we look and we haven't seen anybody in a long time, or the person we run into, our brother here, and we say, and I'm just using an example, we say, how you doing today? You say, well, I tell you what, I've had a rough week. It's been a tough week, and I just have been hurting in my body and everything. Listen, I believe that we should be under the influence of the Holy Spirit in such that we don't have to call the prayer chain. We don't have to call the pastor. We can lay hands right there in the grocery store and say, in the name of Jesus, you rise, you be healed, my friends. But we have to have it in our life. All of us. I'm not saying that it's wrong to call the pastor. No, it's not wrong to call the prayer chain. But look, so often we get dependent upon somebody else to do the praying. We've got to have the power in our life. Signs and wonders. I want to tell you, you got a person that's under the influence of alcohol out on the highways, he's got some signs following him. He's all over the highway, isn't he? You follow him. But I'm going to tell you, there's a signs and wonders that's going to follow those that are living under the influence of the Holy Spirit. A third characteristic of this early church that showed they were under the influence is they had unity. Verse number 44. Notice what it says. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. Now this doesn't mean that they all had the same personalities. It doesn't mean that they all agreed on everything. However, they had their sights, all had their sights in the same place. They had the same goals. They had the same spirit. Their life was controlled by the same person, the person of Jesus Christ. I believe they saw the big picture. They knew who they were and what they were there to do. Friends, I want to say that the enemy tries his best to divide and bring division among the church. I think that one of the big things, and brother, I'm assuming it's okay to walk up and down this place. Is that okay? You do that, don't you? Yeah. I believe one of the big curses under COVID was to divide the church. I had a friend of mine that was from Massachusetts, and he had a nice church up there, a really nice church. I've been to his church, and he's got a really, really successful church. But he came back home to Bertie County, where I live, and he and I got together. It was right in the middle of COVID. It was like the summer of right after it started, whatever. And he said, Pastor Buddy, he said, I really got issues in my church. I said, what's the deal? He said, half the church, we're split. Half the church thinks you got to wear a mask. And the other half of the church said, you don't need to wear a mask. And then along came, this was later, I know, but along comes the, I'm just showing you here, the vaccine. Half the church thinks you have to have the vaccine, and half the church thinks you shouldn't have the vaccine. Can I tell you, my friends, listen, we need to respect one another. You want to wear a mask, you want to get a vaccine, that's up to you. But I'm going to tell you, friends, we can't allow these things to divide us, because these things are there to, the enemy wants to divide us. We've got to be united. United we stand, divided we fall. I was in Vancouver. No, it was actually Washougal, Washington, which is near Vancouver, Washington. A year ago or so, 2 years ago, and I was there to speak at a senior citizens meeting. Now I know I don't look like I'm a senior citizen, but I am, and. It was really a low-key thing. I mean, it was kind of a party, but then they were going to have some devotions, that kind of thing. And they had on the program a comedian. And the comedian gets up, and my sister-in-law was in charge of it, so she, you know, knew the schedule. But she didn't know what he was going to do. She thought he was going to get up and make some funny jokes and stuff, you know, and make everybody laugh. He gets up with a placard that's about this big. They're in the middle of a remodel of their church or sanctuary. And he gets up, instead of telling his comedic act, he holds the placard up and starts promoting pews in the church instead of chairs. And he's got all the statistics of why you need a pew and why you... And I thought to myself, I'm sitting over there, I said, uh-oh, there's going to be problems. Half want pews and half want chairs. Can I tell you, friends, God doesn't care if you sit in a pew or a chair or sit on the floor. We've got to be unified and come. He don't care what color the walls are. He don't care what color the carpet is. We've got to be unified. We've got to be flexible enough, and we've got to come in and magnify him. Amen? Hallelujah. So there's got to be unity within the church. Any organization, whether it be an army, a business, or government, whatever it is, it's going to fall apart if it's not unified. So the church must be unified. But then we look at the fourth characteristic of this early church that showed they were living under the influence. They were liberal givers. We read this in verse 45. In verse 45, it said they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Now there are four types of biblical giving. There's tithes, there's offerings, there's almsgiving, and first fruits. And I'm not going to preach on them. Pastor can do that. But these people covered all the biblical givings. They gave everything to the church. Now, nobody, that we don't see anywhere in Scripture, that says they had to do it. It doesn't say that, oh, thus saith the Lord, you've got to give it all. You know, not just 10%, you've got to give everything. No. You know what happened? They were under the influence of the Holy Spirit in such a way that they just felt compelled to give to the church because there were needs among them. So they just gave everything. And we see here that these people were liberal givers. I think one of the great dangers of living in a rich country like America is that we get too often get focused on the wrong things. We get focused on our possessions. Friends, I want to say, I get concerned about our young people in our culture today when it comes to giving. We think about it. I just want you to think about it. You walk into a store, and what happens? The door automatically opens. You go to the bathroom, and the toilet automatically flushes. You put your hand under the soap dispenser, and it automatically comes out. You put your hand under the water, and it automatically flows out. You put your hand under the hairdryer, and psh, it automatically blows dry or gives you a towel. You walk back out the door and it automatically opens. Everything is automatic. It's all given to them. What's wrong with going in and grabbing a piece of soap and turning the water on? I tell you, our young people are learning that everything is done for them. But we must be not have things done for us. We must be givers. Amen. My son, he was worship pastor over in Winterville for a number of years, and he's now in Macon, Georgia as a worship pastor. But he, before COVID, he was a Uber driver. He did a little bit on the side, you know, just to make a little more money. And so he did Uber driver. So I asked him one day, I said, son, I said, tell me a story. Tell me some of these stories about Uber driving. He said, well, he said, one day I picked up two guys that were pretty inebriated. You know, they were under the influence of alcohol. They needed somebody to drive for them, okay? He said, I picked them up. They asked if could we stop by a convenience store first. Got to run there, one run there. He said, sure, he stopped there. They went in. One came out early. They started conversation. And this one, he pulled out his wallet, and he said, I'm going to give you a tip, which is not abnormal. I think you can do it online or on credit now, but this was back in 2020. And so he pulls out this money. He said, Dad, it was a good tip. It was a good tip. And he gave it to me, and we continued to talk and talk. And the other guy hadn't come out yet, and he says, my son tells him, he says, that he had twins. And the man says, oh, you got twins? Twins? He said, you need some more money. And he reached in his pocket. And my son, he's a very honest guy, and he's, no, you've already given me two. No. He said, Dad, I didn't know what to do. He was really forceful. He was going to give him some more money. So he said, I took the money. And he said, Dad, that's the biggest tip I ever got when I was being an Uber driver. That's the biggest tip I ever got. And I thought about it the next morning when the guy got sober. He probably reached over and grabbed his wallet and looked in there and said, where did all my money go? But the point is, under the influence of alcohol, he was a liberal giver. How much more, under the influence of the Holy Ghost, should we be a liberal giver? We need to give. Amen. You're having a yard sale. I'm going to tell you, you need to come out and be the first one and buy it all up. I'm just saying we need to give, my friends. We've got to be liberal givers if we're going to be under the influence. It's a sign that we're living under the influence of the Holy Spirit. And we look at the fifth characteristic. They had fellowship with one another. Verse 46, fellowship. It says here, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. Fellowship is vital to any relationship. In the early church, they saw the need to get together. Remember, they had common goals. They had a common goal, vision, spirit. Therefore, they had the desire to get with other believers, and they did it with joy. It's unfortunate, but so many people feel like they can live without the fellowship. Friends, I say to you that COVID, there was a lot of positive things that came out of COVID, and I'm not against the online stuff because I believe that there are people that legitimately can't get to church and they need it. It is a good outreach. I started doing online stuff during COVID. I'm still doing it and everything, but can I tell you, that is not an excuse to not get together. Amen. You need, if there's any way possible, you need to be in the house of God. We are made to have fellowship with one another. That's right. The online church is for those who can't. Amen. We've got to have fellowship. There was one woman that said, you know, I stayed home from church and the pastor didn't call me, the deacons didn't call me, and the church I was at before, it was the same thing. I stayed home, the pastor didn't call, the deacons didn't call, and I'm just upset. Can I tell you that if you are under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you don't have to have a pastor to call you. You don't have to have a deacon to call you. You're going to want to be in the house of God to fellowship with brothers and sisters. I like the dinners. I like, you know, when we get together and sit around the table, there's just something about that fellowship. That's biblical, you know. So I encourage you, friends, let's not be a lone ranger. Somebody said even the lone ranger needed Tonto. early church learned there was strength in fellowship. And finally, sixth characteristic of living under the influence is they worship. Verse 47. Notice what it says. Praising God. Praising God. Friends, we have come into the house of the Lord this morning to praise the Lord. Amen. You haven't just come to hear me speak. No, it's not about me. It's not about the missionary. It's not about, we've come here to praise Him. And oh, what a wonderful job the worship did. I appreciate worship teams that just lead us into the presence of God. But we've come here to praise Him. It's all about Him. Praising God. Listen, I've been a pastor. I was a pastor for 23 years over in Askeyville. And I know what I'm getting ready to say. But listen to me carefully, friends. You know, in this modern day, you've got some of the young people, they want to have modern day songs and so on and so forth. And you've got part of the church that says, and part of the older congregation that says, you know, the music is too youthful. It's too new. And then you've got the young people that say, the music and the songs are too old. You see what we got here? We got a little conflict, don't we? We got too old a music, too young a music, you know? I had to face that. But can I tell you, when we walk through the doors of this church, or any church, we shouldn't be worried about whether it's too old or too young or too youthful. We need to be worried or focused on serving the Lord. Some people don't like the way the preacher preaches. He's too quiet, or he's too emotional. He's too loud. Listen, we don't come here just to see whether he's too loud or too quiet. We come here to magnify the Lord. As when we come in here, before you come into the church, you need to come in and say, I'm going to get something from God today. I'm going to lift up the name of the Lord because he inhabits the praises of his people. So I'm going to get something from the Lord today. I don't care if they don't sing at all. I don't care what they sing. I'm going to magnify God. I don't care how the preacher preaches. I'm going to magnify God. Friends, when we do that, you know what happens? We find favor with God.
That's right.
Notice praising God, having favor with all the people. And I know that there's some people you're not going to find favor with. But listen, when you praise God and you find favor with Him, that's what counts. One of my favorite characters in the Old Testament is Joseph. And when you think about it, Joseph's life was crazy, you know. 17 years old, he was dad's favorite. Dad bought him this pretty little jacket, like a hunter's orange or a state employee out on the highways yellow, that you could see it a long way off. And I could see him 17 years old putting that jacket on in the morning. And he'd just walk around with his chest stood out. And it screamed to all of his brothers, Dad loves me best. Dad loves me best. You know what? It doesn't use the word favor, but it's pretty obvious he found favor with his dad. But the scripture does use, in the version that I read, not only did he find favor with his dad, he found favor with Potiphar. He found favor with the head jailer. He found favor. Now the scripture, the version I use the word favor. He found favor with the head jailer. He found with his dad, Potiphar, the head jailer. He found favor with Pharaoh. And it also said that after he revealed to his brothers, and a little later on, he found favor with his brothers. How did he find favor with everybody? Let me tell you why. Because through all of his ups and downs, what did he do? He praised the Lord. He praised the Lord. He didn't allow the style of preacher or the style of music or the opposition from Potiphar's wife. He didn't allow nothing to keep him from praising the Lord. Even when he was put in jail, I'm going to praise him. It reminds me of Paul and Silas, don't it? We're going to praise him anyway. And what did God do? He opened the doors for them. But I'm just saying to you, my friends, when we've come to the house of God today, if we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't matter what goes on around us, we're going to praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now, we ask ourselves, what is the result? Now, we've told you the importance, and we've showed you the importance, and we've also showed you this early church were under the influence of the Holy Spirit. But what happens when the Holy Spirit is in our life and we're under the influence? Look at this. I went through the book of Acts. I went through the book of Acts, and I wrote down everywhere where it said that the church multiplied. I want you to notice 3,000 Acts 2:41, 3,000 added to the church. Acts 2:47, the Lord added to the church daily. About 5,000 men believed. Believers were added to the church. I want you to notice 6:7. Disciples are multiplied and many priests were obedient. I want to tell you, there's revival when the preachers start getting saved.
Amen.
Yeah, there's revival. The church multiplied. Acts 9:31, we go on through the list and it says a great number believed. Much people were added to the Lord. The word of God grew and multiplied. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Great multitudes, Jews and Greeks alike, they believed. Churches increased in number daily. And we continue on here all the way to the Acts chapter 28:24. We see where the people were added to the church. And friends, isn't that what it's all about? For souls to be saved, it is essential that we live under the influence of the Holy Spirit if we want to see souls saved in our community.
Amen.
We've got to live under the influence of the Spirit of God. Listen, when I lived overseas in the early 90s, and I didn't mention that a while ago, but I did live overseas in Russia. I lived in Moscow a year and a half, and my daughter, when we first went, Shelly was 10 years old. My kids were 10, 7, and 4. We lived in an apartment above the director of the school we were teaching at. And he was an old man. He was about 65. About what I am now. Okay, 67. But I was really worried because in the morning, my kids would get up and they'd run all around that apartment. You know how kids do. And boom, 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 boom. You know, that's the floor, you know. And I would ask him, I said, Brother Clendenin, do my kids bother you in the morning? They get up, do they bother you with all that noise? He said, oh, no, no, no. He said, I love to hear the pitter-patter of those little feet in the morning because it reminds me of my grandchildren back in America. It relieved me a lot. But the point was this. He loved to hear the pitter-patter of little feet. Can I tell you, our God loves to hear the pitter-patter of little newborn babes. I'm speaking spiritually right now. In the house of God. He loves to hear the pitter-patter. And friends, we should also love to hear the pitter-patter of those little feet. Hallelujah. It's so important that we're under the influence. DUI kills, but LUI heals. It saves. We are to influence our culture, not culture influence us. The church has to be an influencer. We have to be. Our only measuring rod for what we are to be is the Word of God. And this early church showed us what the Holy Spirit will do for individuals and the church as a whole. Cultures do change. Let me say that again because sometimes cultures change. Even in America, cultures change. The way people dress, the way people eat. You know, different cultures. But can I tell you what doesn't change? The Holy Spirit does not change. The same Holy Ghost that came down in Acts chapter 2 is the same Holy Ghost that filled this 12-year-old boy many, many years ago. The same Holy Ghost that will fill a little child. The same Holy Ghost that will fill an elderly adult. It's the same. He is the same. He doesn't change. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And friends, I want to say to you this morning, it's not an option for us to be filled with the Spirit. In a culture that we live in today, the Bible says in Acts 1:8, you will receive what? Power. If there's ever a day we needed power, we need it in the day in which we live in. Let me close with this illustration. My wife is from the Northwest. When I married her, she was from Tacoma, Washington. She was actually born in Wallace, Idaho. Her dad was a pastor. They moved to Washington, pastored several places there. When I met her, she lived in Tacoma. And when I married her, she moved to Eastern North Carolina and had culture shock. She had culture shock. She had to learn how we talk. She couldn't understand us. You understand, John? Yeah. But I would, on occasions, take her back out west to visit her family. I did. Her dad had resigned as pastor and went on staff at a large church there with Mark Buntain's brother. You've heard of Mark Buntain, but it's his brother. I can't remember his name. But her dad went on staff there. So we visited the church. And on Sunday we visited, they had a guest missionary, and he shared a story. This was in 1990, if I'm not mistaken. He shared a story that I have never forgotten. He said he was in Africa going to a village, and because he was the guest of honor, they were making a big feast for him. He said he comes into the village, and there's this big pot on the fire. They had stir in the pot. Now, I don't know what it looked like really, but in my culture in Eastern North Carolina, I kind of picture it was like at a hog killing, where you got the big pot and you're throwing all the fat in there and you got the boat paddle, and you're stirring it up there. That's just my culture, but don't know exactly what it was like. But I want you to get the picture. Big pot. Soup for the whole village. But there was one piece of meat in the pot. And when it came time to eat, they took that one piece of meat and gave it to the guest of honor and put it on his plate. And he said, I looked right into the eyes of a rat. He said, oh, Jesus, help me. I got to eat this rat. So he said, the Lord helped him, and he started eating rat. He said, I ate rat. Anybody have dogs? You ever given your dog a pill and you got to, you stick it way down his throat and you go like this to try to help it go down? That's probably what I'd be doing. I'd stuck it down there and I'd be going, oh, Jesus, help me get it down. But he said, I ate rat until I ate the whole rat. He said, I ate so much rat that if you would have offered me a steak, I couldn't eat it because I was full of rat. But then he said, that's what's happened to so many people in our culture today. We have eaten the rat that the world has to offer, and we don't want the good stuff that God has for us. Can I tell you, my friends, God will not withhold any good gift from you. And He wants to fill us with His Holy Ghost and His power. But it's unfortunate there's so many people, even in the church today, that don't really hunger and thirst after the things of God like we should because we're too full of the rat. that the world has offered us. But I believe there's some people here in Inglewood this morning that you're hungry and thirsty for God. John, would you come to the piano? Would you all stand with me? I don't know what your... Thank you, musicians. I don't know your spiritual condition, your life, but I do know this. Listen. Those that hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled.
Amen.
And friends, you can live under the influence while you're at church, but I believe God wants us to live under the influence while we're at home. 24 hours a day under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You know, I've seen cases where some people come to church and shout and speak in tongues, but go home and then speak another language. Yikes. That's not the Holy Ghost. We want to be totally, totally saturated with the power of the Holy Ghost. So this morning, as we're going to close and ask you to come, if you are hungry and thirsty for the Holy Spirit more, you may have been filled 50 years ago. That's okay. I'm talking about more. We got to be so full. If you have been baptized, and I'm talking about Acts chapter 2, and you've spoken in that language, I want to encourage you this morning, let's just let it flow. But if you haven't ever spoken in that language, I want to just tell you, we seek the giver, not the gift. And I want to tell you just to love on Jesus. Love on Jesus. Tell him how much you love him, but then yield to him. Yield your feet, your legs, your head, your mouth, your tongue. Yield everything to him. Say, here I am, Lord. I'm yours. Fill me up this morning to overflowing. So when I walk into my home or walk wherever it may be this week, oh, people can sense something's different about my life. Hallelujah. Could we come this morning as we sing? Just let's gather around this front and let's magnify the name of the Lord and worship him. Would you come? We're hungry for him. Hungry for more of the Holy Spirit. Will you come? Just come on. This morning, don't be afraid. Let's eat. Let's eat from what the Lord has for us today. He's got good stuff for us. Good stuff for us today. Hallelujah.